Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at important and challenging portions from the book of Revelation. And I say probably one of the most difficult for last here in Revelation chapter 17, which discusses the meaning of the woman and the beast. And starting there in verse 7, the question is asked, "But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns." And this woman and the beast is described earlier in Revelation chapter 17 in the first six verses. And John was wondering who or what this is. And so the angel's going to give him the interpretation of this. This is one of the rare places in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, where an angel's going to interpret the meaning of the passage for us. And in verse 8, he goes on to tell us, "The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. These are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority from 1 hour as kings with the beast." Now there's several suggestions as to the identity of this woman and the beast and the ten kings. One of the popular ideas is that this is actually a picture of the Roman Catholic Church, primarily based out of verse 9, which speaks of the seven mountains on which the woman sits. Many interpreters today would understand that as Rome and the Roman Catholic Church, because it is the city of seven hills or seven mountains. Now, the problem with that viewpoint is verse 10 tells us these are also seven kings, so it interprets what these seven mountains are. They're seven kings, not literal mountains. Then it says five have fallen. Now, I would agree with this interpretation if we went over to Rome and five of these hills or mountains were destroyed. Then I could say, okay, I agree with you. But here it says five have fallen. It doesn't say will fall, but have fallen. So it speaks of seven kings or kingdoms have fallen. Another interpretation, which has been offered by Charles Feinberg, who is an excellent scholar on the scriptures, suggests that these seven heads are seven different forms of the way Rome governed its empire. And the last one that's going to come about would be that last world empire. That may be stretching it, because here it does say that these are seven kings, or not seven types of empires or seven forms of government. They are kings or kingdoms. So we need to just stick to the word there. So at this point, what I'd like to offer you is another possible interpretation of what these seven heads are. Let's start back at verse 8. It says, "The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition." That's a general characterization of that beast of the last world empire. Its source is the devil, comes out of the bottomless pit, but yet it's going to be judged by God, will go to perdition. "And those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." And earlier in the week, we looked at portions of scripture which said that the world would worship the Antichrist, that last world ruler. And it's going to be those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now it's going to describe what these seven heads are on the beast. This beast is also described in Revelation chapter 13. It says, "Here's a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." Verse 10 now gives us what those seven heads are, seven mountains. These also are seven kings. And in the scripture, it's very clear that kings represent kingdoms. And so here it says five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. So to understand it, it simply says five kingdoms or five world empires have fallen, one is, or one would have been in existence in the time of John, and the other has not yet come, or one is going to be in the future of the time of John. And if you look at world empires, according to secular sources, as well as according to biblical scholars, there has been six world empires. And these are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And if you look at that in light of verse 10, it's easy to understand it. Five have fallen. Five world empires have fallen, which is Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. And then when he says, "and one is," remember John was writing in the time when Rome was the world empire. And then the other has not yet come, which would be that last world empire, which is going to take on a unique form with one leader and 10 kings or 10 kingdoms associated with it. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. So it'll be a short-lived empire in the last days. So to repeat, the five that have fallen are five world empires: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. The one that is in the time of John's would be Rome, and the one that's to come for a short time would be that last world empire, which will be related to 10 kingdoms coming together. They will all give their authority to the Antichrist, which the world will eventually worship as God, which God will eventually judge and send to perdition. It goes on to describe in verse 11, "And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition." Now follow along carefully here. The beast, which is that last world empire, says is also the eighth. And so here we have an eighth world empire. Because what the Bible describes is that 10 kingdoms are going to come together. That'll form that last world empire. But yet they're going to do something unique. They're going to yield all their authority to one individual who we call the Antichrist, or that leader who ruled the last government. So they will yield all their authority to him. So in that sense, he will be an entire world empire unto himself. So he is actually will be the eighth, which also says, but he is of the seven, which relates it to that last world empire that will exist in the form of 10 kings. They'll all give their authority to him and is going to perdition. Once again, God continues to mention he'll eventually judge this last world empire. Verse 12 gives us some more detail. And the 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings. So we definitely know the 10 horns are 10 kings. No one should be able to argue with that. It's clearly interpreted for us. Who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority from 1 hour as kings with the beast. So that last world empire, which is described in Revelation 13 as the beast, the last empire will first start out with 10 kings coming together, those 10 kings yielding their authority to the Antichrist. Revelation 13, I believe, communicates the same idea. It says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads blasphemous names." So once again, these 7 heads would be the 7 world empires, which would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then that last world empire, that empire of the Antichrist. And on that 7th head, there'll be 10 horns. Now, we're given the interpretation of what these 10 horns are in Revelation 17. They're 10 kings. This is also clearly mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, as well as verse 24. We're even given the interpretation of that because Daniel asked about this last empire that'll rule. And Daniel 7, verse 7 reads this way, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." Look also in Daniel 7:24. It tells us what these 10 horns are. "The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High." And that's the description of the Antichrist. "Shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a times, times and a half a times," which is another description of a 3.5 year period. As you put these scriptures together, what it says is the last world empire will first start off in the form of 10 kings. They will yield their authority to the Antichrist. He will become the eighth world empire all by himself. He'll persecute the saints and claim to be God, speak pompous words against God, and demand to be worshipped as God. So verse 12 then reads, "And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority from 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast," or the Antichrist. And that's why he becomes that eighth world empire, because they yield their authority to him willingly and voluntarily. Then it goes on to describe in verse 14 some more detail. "These will make war with the Lamb." Imagine that. They'll be so proud of their power and authority that they will actually want to fight against the Lord. "And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." So here we see the destruction that the Lord will bring. The Lamb of God will come in and destroy this last world empire, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. "And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So verse 14 describes that point in which the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes in and brings judgment and sends this last world empire and all of its followers to that place of perdition. So as you're attempting to interpret Revelation chapter 17, verse 7, I think you have to have the understanding that the beast is that last world empire which will first exist in the form of 10 kings. Those 10 kings will yield their authority to one man who will rule the world and will claim to be God and demand to be worshipped as God, but yet will suffer under God's punishment. That's described in Revelation chapter 19, where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes out of heaven and brings his wrath and judgment and destruction, and then ultimately sets up his kingdom that'll have no end. So we do have a bright future as you study the book of Revelation. The devil may try and set up false kingdoms and kingdoms that are opposed to the Lamb, but ultimately we read the end of the book of Revelation, where the Lamb is victorious. So be encouraged, even though this may be a difficult portion of Scripture to interpret and to understand. The end of the book of Revelation shows Jesus Christ as being the conquering King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will establish His kingdom, and we will be with Him forever.